20 minutes of nonstop news starts now on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Brought to you by Oseron Law, the injured workers hotline.
7:30, Mike Simpson and Vicky Moore. Lawsuit over the smelly dump there in Castaic. A passenger on a cruise ship, really drunk, accused of going on a rampage right after the boat left San Pedro. But first, the gusty winds are coming back.
So they're opening an assistance center today in Malibu. This is for victims of the Franklin fire. Crews are still out there fighting it. And the latest numbers, just about 4,000 acres burned, 56% containment. And yeah, those Santa Ana winds are going to be picking up. So they're on guard for any flare-ups. The new assistance center is going to be open from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, Malibu City Hall. And students at Webster Elementary, they return to class today, but they're going to be on the campus of Malibu Elementary while their campus is repaired.
More on the winds. We got the Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic says they're going to be here for a little bit.
Critical fire weather as low relative humidity is going to continue to keep it very dry as we go through today and tomorrow. Most of the driest weather will continue to be this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon with a low 10 to 20% relative humidity. Gusty winds too, especially in the mountains to the north, St. Gabriel, Santa Susana. Some areas will continue to see gusty winds there with advisories and high wind warnings. Highest gusts will be 60 plus miles per hour. So we have had stronger wind events, but with the critical fire weather, it certainly could lead to rapid spread of any additional wildfire. Meteorologist Ray Stajic, The Weather Channel, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Because of the winds, there's going to be restricted access on Topanga for at least one day, maybe longer. Pete Demetrio talked about it with a rep from Caltrans, Mike Como.
Do you have a particular timeline and which parameters, if you would, on when you're going to close it and when you might reopen it?
The closure will begin at 3 p.m. Tuesday, December 17th. It will continue until 6 p.m. Wednesday, December 18th. This is based upon the weather conditions predicted by the National Weather Service. They're saying that we have a red flag warning, which indicates high fire danger due to weather conditions. The actual closure hours could change depending on the weather.
So the closures will be at Mulholland on the north end, PCH on the south. Only local residents with ID and drivers with specific commercial deliveries will be allowed access in and out of the canyon.
Could get more of the public safety power shut off so they could cut your power. Edison's got 91,000 customers on the list, most of them in San Bernardino County, then L.A., Riverside, Ventura, Orange, and a little bit in Santa Barbara County. Get your devices charged just in case.
The ex-wife of a Woodland Hills doctor who was murdered over the summer will be in criminal court this morning. She's charged with having her ex killed for financial gain. We get the story live from downtown Los Angeles and our Craig Fichtner.
Yeah, this crime happened last August. Dr. Hamid Mershojai was the doctor who was killed outside of his Woodland Hills medical clinic. His ex-wife and three other people have been charged. They've been arrested with several serious crimes, including murder for financial gain. And LADA Nathan Hockman describes her as the mastermind of this crime.
His ex-wife, Aheng Mershojai, she has been charged with effectively hiring a hitman, a gentleman named Evan Hardman. Back on August 23rd, Mr. Hardman, having been hired by Aheng Mershojai, goes ahead to a parking lot in Woodland Hills, the parking lot at which Dr. Hamid Mershojai had his medical practice. He, at that point, goes ahead and engages in the act of murder.
Aheng Mershojai is being held without bail. She'll be arraigned this morning. And the other people that she allegedly hired, or the guy she allegedly hired, he is in Texas awaiting extradition.
Craig, thanks. This chaos on the cruise ship, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship leaving San Pedro, going down to Ensenada, when this passenger, who was drunk, began threatening the other passengers, saying he was going to kill him. One of them, celebrating his wife's birthday and the anniversary with family and friends, says he got chased down the hallway. This guy was screaming threats, trying to kick down a door. It happened less than an hour after the boat left. At one point, the drunk guy attacked a crew member. There was a lot of profanity, racist remarks. Some people telling Fox 11 that trip got ruined just an hour in.
LA County suing the owners of the Chiquita Canyon landfill to get it cleaned up. We talked about it with LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger. That's her district, and you'll hear what she had to say coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Susie Jessup now in the Downey Hyundai Traffic Center.
It's a slow ride as you're leaving LAX and making your way in towards Culver City in the west side of town. We have a new problem northbound side of the 405 right at Jefferson. Two-car collision. It just got moved over to the right shoulder. But wow, it is slammed right now from Century Boulevard as you make your way to Venice Boulevard. Then opens up as you head in towards the Sepulveda past. Southbound 405 up to its old tricks, leaving Roscoe as you make your way to Sunset Boulevard, then opens up to the west side. We still have a lot of slowing both directions of the 110 through South LA, basically from about Manchester to Martin Luther King, and the northbound 110 continues to be slow as you make your way up to the four-level interchange. We had an earlier wreck on the southbound side of the 110 right around 8. That did clear. Now we have another problem at 9th that's over to the right shoulder, and that's just adding to that very heavy and slow ride as you make your way away from Dodger Stadium. Southbound side of the 405, wow, that is a rough ride as you leave Westminster, make your way to Fountain Valley. Finally, right around, I would say, Brookhurst, things start to open up in pretty good speeds into Irvine.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Ozeron Law. That's the Injured Workers Hotline.
So yeah, LA County has filed a lawsuit against the owners and operators of the Chiquita Canyon landfill, and it claims that they failed to control the ongoing harmful underground smoldering stinky reaction with the landfill. It's made a lot of people sick over the last couple of years, and we talked about it with County Supervisor Catherine Barker.
We're asking the court to order Waste Connections to relocate nearby residents temporarily until the reaction is contained. And there's no question that that the stench up there is impacting neighbors that are directly located close to the landfill. So we're working on that. But I know that the geomembrane and the experts have all told us what needs to be done with the flares and all, but it is not dissipating the smell. And so it's clear to me that we have to go into court and look at every option as it relates to holding Waste Connections responsible and accountable for not only relocation costs, but getting this under control.
How many people and how close would need to be moved if they actually are forced to move these people?
You know, I don't want to put a number on it because here's what happens. You've got people that may live directly, you know, next to it that need to be relocated. But there may be people that may have pre-existing conditions that aren't as close and but yet need to be relocated. So I want the courts to give us the flexibility to allow individuals that can show that, in fact, it's impacting their health. And we've got health surveyors going out right now door to door talking to people and collecting data. So, you know, I don't want to put a number on it because I think that's part of the problem. It impacts people differently depending upon, what I'm told, pre-existing medical conditions they may have, or they're hypersensitive to certain odors or even chemicals that some feel are being put into the atmosphere.
There's a group of people who say they're really concerned over like a cancer cluster. What do we know about that?
So we've got Keck with USC doing, they've got an arm of it that looks at cancer clusters. So we are working with them. That's an independent survey that's being done and study that's being done. And we're working to find out exactly, you know, what is going on. Because it's clear to me there are individuals, and I was up at a hearing, and there are individuals that are being directly impacted and are having severe health issues. And so it's important that we get an independent look at that. And public health is working with them as well.
Speaking with LA County Supervisor Catherine Barker, very quickly, let's turn to Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall. You've got that motion today going before the board to declare a local emergency. Do you think you'll get the support you need to get it passed? And then how quickly does that turn into results?
Well, I hope we have the votes because this was not something that I did or even Supervisor Solis did. This is something that was a bottom-up approach. This is coming from our chief probation officer, as well as our human resources department, as it relates to getting the workers back to work. And so I'm hoping that this motion will pass to give our chief probation officer the tools he needs. Understand this. When they talk about Los Padrinos not being suitable for placement, it has nothing to do with the bricks and mortar. It has to do with the fact that we don't have staff showing up to work. So the staff-to-youth ratio is falling below what is acceptable. It's important for us to hold all workers accountable. And if it means bringing in people from outside probation to do the job of those probation officers that were, by the way, hired to do this, so be it. But we need to do an all-hands-on-deck and bring this facility up to a place where the ratio of employees to youth meets the state standard.
That is LA County Supervisor Catherine Barker. The feds ban hidden fees for hotels and concert tickets. And if you saw a streak of light in the pre-dawn sky this morning, well, we'll tell you what it was. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Police in Madison expected to release some more info later this morning about the deadly school shooting at the Christian school yesterday. Shooter was a 15-year-old girl. Here's CBS's Charlie DeMar.
Police say officers arrived 3 minutes after a second grade student called police about an active shooter at Abundant Life Christian School Monday morning.
Don't let that soak in for a minute. A second grade student called 911.
Upon arrival, police say they found the shooter dead inside the school and recovered a 9mm handgun.
One woman says she rushed over there. This is right when she found out about it.
They told us to stay away. I just had to go, and I had to be there. We don't live that far. And so it was just, I had to go see, like, if they were okay.
One student, one teacher killed, six others hurt, two facing life-threatening injuries.
As new information continues to surface about that shooting, a security expert says there needs to be more training on recognizing the signs before they even happen. Here's Elsa Ramon.
While investigators begin to reverse engineer the details, like social media, websites the shooter visited, and cell phone records that may answer what motivated the school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, security expert Paul Viola says while providing extra security and training more law enforcement helps create a presence, it shouldn't be the focus.
We're locking the problem inside the school, and we're not doing enough, nearly enough. I've been doing this now for 43 years, and I can tell you that the school shootings that we had in the late 80s, the individual is still the same. The cause and origin is still the same. We're not spending nearly enough time across the board educating students, teachers, and parents about the warning signs, what they look like, and how they should be reported preemptively. We're just simply failing in that area.
Violas also says it's rare that the shooter doesn't brag about what they're going to do before they do it. So don't hesitate to immediately report it. I'm Elsa Ramon, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The president-elect's communications director saying this, a judge's decision to not dismiss the hush money conviction is in direct violation of what the Supreme Court said about immunity. Trump was found guilty in May, 34 counts of the falsifying of the business records, interfering with the election through the payments to Stormy Daniels. Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law, explaining what she thinks is going to happen at the sentencing, if and when it happens.
The judge's decision to say that the conviction stands is separate and apart from sentencing. So I think the question for sentencing is, will it happen before January 20th, before the inauguration, or after the next presidential administration? And will it include any jail time? I suspect the answer to that second question is no.
So again, a lot of whens and wills and ifs in there.
Most people, according to a new report, do not believe in the nation's court system.
A new Gallup poll says that Americans' confidence in their country's judicial system and courts has dropped to a record low of 35% this year. Over the last 4 years, the U.S. saw a sharp drop of 24 percentage points. That sets the U.S. apart from other wealthy nations, where most people say they trust in their systems. People who answered the poll weren't asked about their political party affiliations, but confidence dropped among people who disapprove of the country's leadership during the Biden presidency, as well as those who approve. The results of the poll come after the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, the indictment of former President Donald Trump, and the subsequent withdrawal of federal charges, as well as Trump's attacks on the integrity of the judicial system. Donna Warder, Washington.
Federal Trade Commission passing a new rule this morning requiring ticket sellers, hotels, vacation rental sites to show the full price, including all the fees up front. Part of the president's crackdown on the hidden junk fees that increase the consumer costs. We've already got a junk fee law here in California.
The grandchild or niece on FaceTime asking to borrow money may not be real. Emily Valdez has more on an AI scam warning.
This is next level deception, but it's super easy because so many people put their videos, their voices online.
The way that AI is now, it's extremely easy to fake someone's voice or videos.
Lou Raban is with Cyber Defense Group in Pasadena. He says the only real way to protect yourself is to have a family code word.
Have a safe word. So if, you could ask the person, hey, do you remember that time we went to Disneyland or something? And they're, hopefully they'll be like, wait a second, we never went to Disneyland. And therefore you can determine it's a fake person or a scammer.
Scammers particularly targeting older people. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
7:45.
Good traffic now brought to you by Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel. Susie Jessup.
You know, I got a call. PCH is open both directions for everyone, and so is Malibu Canyon. And Simi Redbird just checked in and said, Malibu Canyon is open to everyone and wide open, as well as PCH. And PCH, he said, is, and I'm looking at it right now, a great alternate to the 101. Eastbound side of the 101, there's going to be some slowing from Winnett because you make your way towards the 405 and then both directions of the 101 slow between the 405 as you make your way to the Hollywood split. Keep it in mind, Topanga Canyon is going to close down at 3 o'clock today. That is a preemptive strike against the winds. Of course, residents can get through there, but anyone else, that's between Ventura, that's between basically Mulholland, that's basically between Woodland Hills and PCH. That's a like normal closure, but if you do show your ID, you can get through there. And again, that closure is gonna be in effect till tomorrow at 6 o'clock at night. If it does open early, we'll let you know. As of right now though, Topanga Canyon is open and it will be closing at 3 o'clock. So be nice, look at a street alert in Pasadena with the Southern California Toyota dealers, Instant iView.
Yeah, there's a problem with the railroad crossing gate. Looks like Lindsay called in Meridian and Mission. I'm looking at a lot of extra congestion on Mission near Fair Oaks as well. So she said she was stuck there for a half hour. So please be aware of that and avoid that area. Southbound 14 at Avenue S, the SIG alert continues here. Two right lanes are blocked off and the backup is Palmdale Boulevard.
Looks like we have a new snag. He's bounced out of the 210. It's like right at the 57 CHP, right about during traffic break to try and clear some cones out of lanes. 13-time Grammy winner Babyface is coming with an evening of hits to Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel on Friday, March 14th. Get tickets now at the casino box office or yamavatheater.com. Enjoy an unforgettable evening with Babyface Live, March 14th at Yamava Theater. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly. SoCal's only reliable traffic reports every 10 minutes on the fives from the Downey Hyundai 24-hour traffic center.
Talk about these winds again for a second, because they're picking up for the next few days. We got the red flag warnings going up this afternoon, lasting into tomorrow evening at least, and then still might have some gusty winds sticking around for Thursday. Warming up when we do this, up a few degrees, so mid-60s to mid-70s, and then a little more for tomorrow and Thursday, warm and dry, some low 80s in our warmest spots. So yeah, low 80s, middle of December, next couple of days in the valleys and for the IE, we're going to drop down a little bit once we get into Friday.
Time to talk about travel and 2025 right around the corner, and there's going to be a lot of change. And here to tell us about those changes, what we have to look forward to, our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg. Hi, Peter. Well, we'll try to establish contact with him and get back to him. Let's talk about the pig transplant. A woman who got a pig kidney transplant made some significant progress.
After 8 years on dialysis, Tawana Looney had pig kidney transplant surgery last month at NYU.
I feel like I got a second chance on life. That's like a new beginning.
Looney had donated a kidney to her mom, then got high blood pressure from pregnancy, her remaining kidney failing. She's the fifth American given a gene-altered pig organ, Dr. Jamie Locke.
It was remarkable. The kidney pinked up and looked just like a human kidney. It made urine within just a few minutes.
Two previous pig transplant patients, both sicker, died. Still, researchers are looking towards a future of animal-to-human organ transplants with more than 100,000 people on the list, mostly needing kidneys. I'm Julie Walker.
Well, Peter was going to tell us a few different things, and one of them was that there's going to be more places you could go that you could never go before, at least not super easy. So Delta, American, United, he says it's spreading their wings to places no U.S. airline has ever gone. Mongolia, Greenland, Taiwan, Philippines, Senegal, Marrakesh, and the list goes on. And more airlines are now going to Asia, including Alaska Airlines. And we do have a list of where to go next year. This is from U.S. News and World Report, their 2025 list of the best vacation spots.
For best places in the world, there's a mix of exotic scenic locales topped by the Swiss Alps, Bora Bora, Rome, Machu Picchu, and Tokyo. In the U.S., national parks are the most popular spots. But the magazine's senior travel editor, Elizabeth Von Terst, tells us there are great cities here to visit for culture and cuisine.
New York City, Washington, D.C., Boston, Honolulu, and Chicago.
Or smaller towns.
Bar Harbor, Maine was our number one destination there. Telluride, Colorado, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and Sedona, Arizona.
Michael Toscano, CBS News.
750.
Amazon may be not ready for the remote workers to come on back to the office. Here's Dan Schwartzman.
That's right, Mike and Vicky. Amazon may not have thought out its plans to have all remote workers return to their offices full-time starting January 2nd. This report is sponsored by Total Wine & More. Business Insider says the retail giant no longer has space for everyone and is now telling some employees to keep working at home until workspaces are ready. Another international airline has turned to Apple AirTags to enhance its baggage handling system. The parent company of British Airways is now turning on the location-sharing tool across all its carriers. More than 15 airlines, including Delta, now use AirTags to help track lost bags. There could be a big acquisition in the food industry shortly. Sources are reporting that McCormick and Company is in talks to buy Sour Brands, the company that makes Duke's mayonnaise. The sale could be for more than $1 billion. Let's look at the markets right now. They're not good. The Dow's down 0.6%. S&P's down 0.5%. NASDAQ's gotten slightly better. That's also still down 0.5%. I'm Bloomberg's Dan Schwartzman from the Barrister Office Suite's Money Desk on KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the Injured Workers Hotline.